that big news in Ballymena yesterday, that's what will be the main thrust of the programme this morning, trying to get reaction to what was a devastating day for Ballymena. If it was news that affected you, what are you thinking this morning? What does the future hold? Give us a call this morning, 030 30 80 55 55. So many people who've been speaking about this, we've been reading about it, families, generations who have spent their lives working in that factory in Ballymena, described it as part of the fabric of the town. Particularly if you're in the Ballymena area this morning, you want to lift the phone and speak to us this morning, and you've had maybe 24 hours or so to digest the news. 030 30 80 55 55. Apocalyptic, just one of the words used by the local MP to describe the announcement that the factory was closing in 2018 with the loss of almost 900 jobs. The company said the decision had been made due to the significant downturn in demand for truck tyres in Europe since the financial crisis of 2007. The announcement made yesterday has devastated hundreds of workers and families, as well as sending a chill through the Ballymena area as concerns of the knock-on effect build. Let's go live to our reporter, Nicola Weir, who's in Ballymena town centre. Nicola, whereabouts are you this morning?
Yes, good morning, Joel. I'm in the heart of Ballymena town centre at the bandstand. Most people would recognise it if they come from here. Now, Ballymena is proudly called the City of the Seven Towers. Now, I'm not outside the Michelin factory where that bad news was delivered yesterday, simply because the 900 or so workers have been given the day off today. They're probably sitting at their breakfast tables contemplating the way forward for them and their families. It's yet another devastating blow to Ballymena. It comes hot on the heels of the construction firm Pattons going under in 2012 with the loss of around 300 jobs, Joel. Then there was an announcement last year that some 800 people would be losing their jobs at the JTI plant, formerly Gallagher's cigarette factory in Galgorm, just a little bit outside Ballymena, and it'll be closing in 2016, and now Michelin will be no more. Now, Ballymena has a population of around about 60,000, that's including all the other outside areas, the little villages, and it prides itself on the fact that its backbone is local family-run businesses. There's a lot of loyalty in this town. People, they live here and they shop here, but will that continue? I'm joined by two local business people, Gail Workman from Bags of Class and Thomas Wallace from Wallace's. Now, first of all, Gail, you came to speak to me about the impact it might have on the business that you work for. But whenever you arrived here, you told me your two sons are employed by Michelin and your husband has just recently retired. What was the reaction from your sons yesterday?
Well, initially they were distressed about it, but Michelin have always been a very good employer and are trying to help them to get other work whenever the factory actually closes. And so that's their situation. It did come unexpectedly, but at the end of the day, Michelin has done their best, and I feel now it is down to the MLAs to try and put their heads together, get back to the table and try and find fresh industry for this area.
Do you think your sons, I know a lot of workers were coming out yesterday saying they've offered us the opportunity to relocate. Are you worried your two sons might take that option, or do you think they have no other option?
One of my sons is definitely going to relocate. The other one has a family here in Ballymena and his wife works in the area, so no, they won't be relocating. But so we can only hope that there will be jobs at some point for him.
But there must be a lot of fear within your family about what they are going to do, what is the future?
Well, that's true, but as I say, nobody knows what the future holds, and it's a little bit away yet, so we'll just have to see how it pans out. It will no doubt have an effect on everybody, yes it will, some more than others.
And you do work in a business here, so your two sons employed in Ballymena, you're employed here in Ballymena. Is the person that you work for, the person that owns your business, are they concerned about this latest closure in Ballymena?
Yes, they are, because the business that we are in, making curtains and soft furnishings, is one of the things that's classed as a luxury. So if people are unemployed, they're obviously going to pay their bills first and put food on the table. And the last thing they're going to consider is buying the luxuries if they're not working. So yes, it will affect our business.
So potentially you've got three members of your family facing a bit of an uncertain future this morning?
Well, that is true, yes.
I'm also joined by Thomas Wallace. Thomas, you've had a business in this town for over 70 years on Church Street. You sell shoes and fashions. you obviously must be worried about what might be the future for yourself, because I've looked down Church Street. I come from Ballymena. I walk around it every Saturday. There are a few boarded up shops down there.
Yes, Ballymena has suffered along with other towns. I think all of them were the same, and we have lost some traders. But let's be clear that Ballymena still has a lot of very good traders and independent traders and a good mix of independents and multinationals. And we're thankful that people do come to Ballymena from all over the province and beyond. But we are sad to hear this news. We really feel for the people that are employed, for those that have lost their jobs. We feel for them, we pray for them that something else will open up for them. Ballymena has had a knock, as you have said, over the last years, and yet we just have had to carry on. And we're thankful that people do come from all over. But I do know that, as I understand it, people come to Michelin to work from all over the province as well. So the effect that Michelin closing here will not just affect Ballymena, but will affect County Antrim and beyond.
And I'm also joined by Jim Flanagan, Jim, who's the editor of the Ballymena Guardian. Jim, now, this wasn't really a shock. It wasn't a bolt out of the blue, really, because there have been a lot of rumours circulating about the future of Michelin.
That's true, and the Michelin management have been chipping away at energy costs, making it very clear to the Assembly that this was hampering their business. It was making it uncompetitive. Nevertheless, yesterday it was still a bit of a bombshell. Nobody actually knew the precise timing of this, and it was clear when I was out at the factory people were stunned. So, you know, as Thomas said here, Ballymena is still very much open for business. It is a very thriving shopping town. Tomorrow, the big discount day is here. It's famous. There'll be people from all over Ireland coming, possibly even from Scotland. And the town wants to send out the message that it is still very much open for business.
Yeah, but we are looking realistically at, over the course of the last few years, you know, there's three major industries have shut. There's been almost 3,000 jobs gone. We do have Moy Park. We do have Wright Bus. But people must be worried about the impact it's going to have on Ballymena.
I think they're bound to be impacted. I mean, we conservatively estimate about £50 million in local wages per annum taken out of the economy. That's a very, very heavy burden for any town to carry. And so it really is up to Mid and East Antrim Borough Council now to step up to the mark. You know, we've asked for more devolution here. They've got it. And they are now responsible from next year on for local economic development. This should be right at the top of their list, and we'll see what they're made of now.
We heard from Gail there, who's standing beside me, Gail Workman, whose two sons employed at the plant. And she spoke quite highly about Michelin. She spoke quite highly about the management there and said possibly, you know, politicians have to up their game. Is that the feeling you're getting in the town this morning?
Very much so, and I have personal experience of this myself. My own father, my late father, was made redundant when the Michelin factory closed in Mullusk. He was there for 20 years, and he never had a bad word to say about them, even after being made redundant. So that has to be taken into consideration as well. But, and I mean, they have promised to retrain. They have said that anybody who wants to relocate will get a job, not may get a job. So, I mean, that's a reasonable commitment as well. So, yeah, I mean, there are hopes that some sort of resolution and some sort of plan can be devised by this council to put the town back on its feet again.
And I just want to have one final word with Gail here. Gail, because you are the face, the family behind this story. You know, your two sons employed at the plant, you obviously survive and your business survives on people coming here. What do you want to say to politicians?
Well, just stop arguing and get on with the job, because at the end of the day, people have to work and they have to pay their bills and they have to put food on the table, and that's what's most important to us.
What are your sons saying to you? Are they saying that anything could have been done to save the factory?
I think they know Michelin did try their absolute best, and there was a number of issues underneath, as has already been said, as to do with the cost of running the plant and all of those things. So, really, I know they don't really blame Michelin themselves. They know they have tried their absolute best for them, but it's just the way it is. They produce lorry tyres in Ballymena, and that's the issue, because there's been a fall in the market, as we've already heard, in those. And therefore, you know, it's really is what it is. And we need fresh work here in this area now.
There you go, Joel. You've heard from a mother there who has two sons are facing an uncertain future, one who's got a young family. But Ballymena is coming to life here. The streets here are packed as usual. And as you heard from Jim, this town relies on the loyalty and that people live and they shop here. And the two business people I've got here are hoping that their 20% off day, which is starting probably today or tomorrow. So everybody can come to this town, get 20% off, and they just hope that that continues in the future.
Nicola, thanks for the moment. Your reaction to the story this morning, 0-30-30-80-55-55, as I said, particularly if this is something that's affecting you. I know the workers are off today. Maybe you're sitting listening to this. Love you to share your thoughts if you feel it's something you'd like to do this morning. Michael's on the line this morning in Belfast. Michael, good morning to you.
How are you doing, sir? I'm really sorry about what's happening to the people in Ballymena. It's gut-wrenching. I would say little else in my message. This is my main point. We need to make far cheaper electric. Northern Ireland economy and the housewife trying to run a budget. We're being hammered and hammered again with very dear electric, some of the dearest electric in Europe. And unless electric is cheaper, we're going to eventually drift into a third world state, a third world economy, hidden or masked by the London subventions.
It was incredible, Michael. I was reading through, there was a delegation from Michelin went and spoke to a Stormont committee a couple of years ago, and they made the point, and when you sort of see it in these figures, it kind of hits home that the problems that the factory, and as you quite rightly say, all manufacturing businesses have here, that between 2002 and 2012... their electricity costs increased by 134%. It's extraordinary.
Well, let me say this to you, and your research team can get on to it. Bombardier, and if we lose them, we're finished. Bombardier got permission to burn their own rubbish to make cheap electric because their business is also a very electric-intensive business. But what I would say to you, and I'd say get your researchers onto this, the Queen fitted an Archimedes screw in the River Thames to generate electric from the current of the Thames. It runs her whole palace, which could be the equivalent of running 10 micro or medium-sized businesses. We have the River Ban, and we could fit lots of Archimedes screws to generate electric from the current of the Ban and get that electric over to the Ballymena industrial estate. Now, wait, bear this point, and then I'll finish. No doubt there's lots and lots of red tape all over the place why this can't be done. So what you do is you create up an energy zone which lives outside the red tape around Ballymena, and they get the cheap electric. And through the energy zone or the economic zone in Ballymena, the whole rest of the general background economy develops and swells. So check out one, Bombardier. Check out two, the Archimedes screw that was fitted by Her Majesty the Queen to run Windsor Palace using the slow-running water of the River Thames. We have the Ban, and we have lots of rivers everywhere to tap into. We can't afford to be using foreigners' gas and oil and foreign-generated electric to run our economy. It must be made local, run local, and fitted cheaply and locally by very short communication systems.
No, I'm going to have to let you go because there are a lot of calls in this. I'm of a lot to get through, but you've made your point well. That's Michael this morning. A lot of calls in this already. We will come to you. So don't think that we're ignoring you. You can see the messages on the screen here. But before we do, and you may then want to react to this when we do eventually speak to you. Before we came on air this morning, I was talking to the Minister, Jonathan Bell, from the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment. I began by asking him, when did he actually last speak directly to Michelin directors in his role as minister?
I've personally never spoken to any of the Michelin directors. In my previous role, I actually went down to the plant with the First Minister and spoke to them. Where we work is through our client executives.
Just to go back to that point. I mean, many people find that astonishing that as minister, despite the repeated warnings and the fact that the factory was in trouble, lift a phone.
I think there is a fundamental flaw in what you're saying there.
Which
we
is what?
We have met with them on a quarterly report basis and on a monthly basis.
Yeah, but you said that you have never spoken to them.
Nothing that I have said to you that I did, not in this role, which I've only been in for 6 months. In my previous role, I was actually down in the factory with the management, with the senior management, and with the workers. I have then spent a lot of time both with Manufacturing Northern Ireland and with others to see how we could address the high energy costs that we have in Northern Ireland. The flaw in your argument is we received no notice or information that the plant was at risk of closure.
Hold on a second. I mean, 2 years ago, the boss of the factory told a Stormont committee that energy cost was the number one threat to the Michelin plant in Ballymena, and he told the committee there was a threat to the factory in the next 5 years. He specifically said not 10 years, 5 years. So the question is... What happened?
We took from that was I put together a plan to give hundreds of thousands of pounds of support for renewable initiatives to bring down their energy costs. That was the action, directly responding to what was said there. The Mitchell and Factory themselves have told me they have no complaints from Invest Northern Ireland, no complaints from this department, that they had to close the factory as a result in a global downturn of 5 million units of the tire that they were producing.
Do you regret this morning not having lifted the phone in the last 6 months, having gone and paid a visit?
Well, I've said to you, I visited the factory. I have met with Invest Northern Ireland, who were dealing on a monthly basis with the factory. We were receiving quarterly reports. The last one that I received as minister was in September, which was to tell me that global output was up. The local member of parliament, who have also been in a series of discussions with about what we could do, both in the general area and specifically in this one, had been given no indication from local management that there was any risk of closure, and that was as recently as the last number.
Well, it's interesting about the local area, because Jim Allister said yesterday that in the year 2014-2015, InvestNI didn't bring a single foreign direct investment visitor to the whole of North Antrim. Not one. Is that true?
What Jim Allister doesn't realise is there was a number of initiatives that have been underway in the Mid and East Antrim Council area.
Is that true, though, that not a single foreign direct investment visitor was brought to North Antrim?
Let me state what we have done, because Invest Northern Ireland work in the Mid and East Antrim Council area. In 2013-14, in the last particular job, Invest Northern Ireland brought 4,760 jobs to the Mid and East Antrim Council area. And from 10 to 14, we facilitated 23 inward visits. And Invest Northern Ireland made 83 offers of support of inward investment to the Mid and East Antrim Council area, which were totaling £84 million of investment. In addition to that, we have worked with a number of people in North Antrim that I know of, with a highly successful, we have to realise the workers here are some of the best in the world. It's through no fault of their own.
Yes, but the question is, will the same calibre of job be brought to North Antrim that is being lost, not just today, but also in terms of what's happened to Gallagher's?
And that's a very good question. And let me look to what is currently existing for the workers in the Mid and East Antrim Council area. We have Ramdux, highly successful, hundreds of new jobs, and we are giving them a lot of support. A very good manufacturing company, doing extremely well. We have Schrader, another very good manufacturing company. We're leading in some of the products that it produces, like tire sensors, and I'll be leading trade missions around the globe.
And you mentioned Schrader, I want to mention Schrader specifically because you mentioned them last night on television, and immediately members of the public are contacting the BBC to say, once you've mentioned Schrader, that apparently they have put all temporary and agency staff on 4 weeks' notice.
If you look at the success of Schrader over the period, nobody underestimates the difficulties that manufacturing has. And one of the things that I have said to the Northern Ireland Assembly, there's two things we need to do immediately, and failure is simply not an option. One is to give our competitive manufacturers a competitive edge, is to reduce our corporation tax. Because if we do that, we will hand heavy manufacturing a gift of competitiveness.
One final question. What's your message this morning, particularly to those 860 people this morning, to those who look at it and say, ministers have been caught asleep at the wheel, they've let this drift, you have to shoulder some of the blame, you've been in and out of office over the course of the last number of weeks, and that hasn't helped?
My message to the workers who I will be meeting and the company is that we are doing three things. We are putting the £5 million Community Development Fund alongside all the resources of Invest Northern Ireland and all the firepower of my department.
Yep, Michelin announced that yesterday, though, didn't he? Michelin are doing that.
To get you trained and upskilled for the times ahead. I know what unemployment is like. I grew up in Belfast in the 70s and 80s. I know the devastation. What I don't want to concentrate on is what I can't do. I want to tell you now what I can do.
Yeah, but Michelin are providing the $5 million, aren't they?
Are you going to give me a chance?
No, I just want to clarify that. Is it not Michelin that's providing
Michelin
the $5 million?
Michelin is provided the $5 million.
Yes.
Pounds. That's why I called it at the start there the Michelin Community Development Fund. The clue's in the title. Now, it's the Michelin Community Development Fund. Now, what we were trying to do yesterday is we sat for hours with the Employment and Learning Minister. I sat for hours with my officials to see how we can get those individual staff, their accreditation, get them their skills, get them to a point where there are manufacturing jobs, and I understand some are going to be advertised and some are currently advertised, to see where we can get them into where we have highly successful people who are employing people in manufacturing. And I say the Moy Parks, the Schraders, the Randoxes, the Wright Buses, who are hugely successful, global leaders, building on the success and skills of that workforce, to see how we can get those staff who wish to, skilled up, accredited, and in a competitive position to compete for those new jobs that exist. Secondly, we want to deal with the redundancy package. Thirdly, I've also been working on the sidelines and been kept abreast by the Member of Parliament for that area, who has led investment visits from Taiwan, from Gibraltar, from Singapore. I can't go into the competitive details of those, but what I can tell you is we expect to see some fruit being born from those visits. And finally, I can tell you this.
Jobs of a similar calibre, that's the question people in Ballymena are asking.
Jobs of a similar calibre for Northern Ireland. And remember, 40% of people in Northern Ireland operate outside the parliamentary constituency in which they work in. So what I'm saying to you is what we will do is support those workers.
Because you don't want them going to Dundee or Stoke, as Michelin have offered. You don't want people with those skills leaving here.
We want the high-skilled people here. Dundee and Stoke were car tyres. Ballymena was truck tyres. It's apples and oranges.
You don't want those people who have been offered the chance to go and work in other divisions. You don't want them leaving here.
Look, I want to bring 30,000 to 40,000 new jobs to Northern Ireland. I want to bring jobs where I can that are paying above the private sector median average.
How realistic is that figure? And what time scale are you looking at?
16 years is the figure, and growing the economy by 10% over that 16-year period is the prize.
For a lot of people who lost their job at Michelin, though, 15 years, you know, if you're 45, you're, 55, 60 years of age?
The growth to the economy is, the difficulty, Joel, is I am sitting with a number of companies that I have commercially sensitive information, which I cannot broadcast, and they are telling me that they are ready to invest in Northern Ireland. The minute we give them a date and a rate of our reduction in corporation tax, and even at 2018, because these companies operate in 3 to 5 year plans, usually as a minimum, they will immediately invest in Northern Ireland, creating new jobs, quality jobs, jobs for young people coming into the market, jobs for graduates. There is a massive prize immediately to be held for Northern Ireland into the future. We are in a good place. Manufacturing, and it's no... If I grew up and I'd lost my job this morning, this is cool comfort. But the reality is, as Manufacturing Northern Ireland said last night, the manufacturing industry is growing in Northern Ireland. We have had huge levels of success, as I say, with the Randoxes, the Schraders, the Moy Parks, the Wright Bus with their significant profit. We have shown that we can be global world leaders. We saw the big announcement from Almac yesterday. That is giving us a flavour of what potential we do have. Let's set the date and rate. Let's get the electricity north-south interconnector agreed, and let's move forward and create that new dawn that I believe that there is for Northern Ireland if we can clarify the date and rate of corporation tax.
So Patsy McGlone's wrong when he says that you were caught asleep at the wheel and this policy of in-out ministers has meant that you've taken your eye off the ball.
I don't want to go... Look, I think we have eyes in the front of our heads so that we look forward. I can't go back. We can rehearse the arguments of the murder of Kevin McGuigan and whether we should do business as usual when our citizens are being murdered in the streets. We can rehearse all those arguments, but I don't believe the rehearsal of those arguments helps. What I'm doing today, I'm going to be meeting with key stakeholders. I'm going to be dealing with the company. I'm going to be trying to get those workers upskilled. I'm going to be further pushing how we can reduce our energy costs. I will be pressing to get that interconnector, the objections dealt with, and the £20 million savings into our budget in Northern Ireland. And I again reiterate the plea. We have something in our gift for future generations. It is given to us by the best economic information. I accept they don't all agree, but and I'll have to close on this. It's the best economic information available to me. Northern Ireland, this little country of 1.82 million people, is attracting more foreign direct investment than anywhere else in the United Kingdom, due to the success of our people, the skills of our people, the work ethic of our young people, as is exhibited by the people in Ballymena. We have got a tremendous opportunity to give to future generations and to this generation up to 40,000 new jobs. Let's set our date, let's set our rate, let's reduce our corporation tax, and let's take Northern Ireland into a very successful economic future. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you very much. That was the Minister, Jonathan Bell, from the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment, speaking to me before we came on air.